Okay, we're going to start with the Mishnah Tzarichetim a bit. Okay, Chamesh Nashim Shenit Arvu V'Ladotehem. We're going to have a lot of mixed up situations where women, and it's not clear whose children they are. Okay, in a little while, we're going to hear them talk about children B'machveh, that were like hidden. So the note in the Koran talked about the fact that often in the time specifically of Bar Kokhba, people were hiding in caves, and it was very common, therefore, that they were hiding in these caves, and they had children, and because it was dark, they mixed up their children as to whose children were whose. So I know everyone likes to always ask, is this really real? Was this discussing an actual situation? So, you know, the claim is that that really could have possibly happened. Very common. Okay, so anyway, our Mishnah starts out with five women whose babies got all mixed up. Obviously, this doesn't have to be five. Five is not a magical number. It's just giving an example. So I kind of set it up with our people here. If anyone's trying people at home, you need a lot of people here. you need about 15. So anyway, the women who gave birth are not here because I don't have enough people. But the women who give birth to these five boys, okay? The five boys, I'm going to now remove them, okay? One, two, three, four, five. I'll take this guy. He's not really a person. Five guys are their children, but we have no idea who belongs to who. Now, okay, they have five other sons who they know for sure are their sons, okay? So each one has a son that's Vadai and a son that's Suffolk, okay? But now they don't know, it's one out of five chance that that's their son. Higdilu Hatarovot, okay? These kids now, who were their children who got mixed up, grew up. Vinasu Nashim, they got married. Umeitu, and they died, obviously, without children. So now what happens with all these women? Okay, now these are their wives that they married. The women on our that we brought out, those are the women they married. So now each son married a woman. Now I'm moving them because we don't really know who they married and who they belong to, these five women. So we now have five sons that each belong to five different families that we know. Okay, this is Cohen, this is, you know, Katz, this is whatever they are. Okay, I'm just throwing out names. These are five known sons. These are five women who all are sefek chayv and yibum to any one of these guys. So what do they do? Okay, so now, each of these guys, okay, you take this, let's say, one woman at a time. Chalitza, 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 yibum. Okay, now we're going to start with a different one. Chalitza, 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 yibum, okay? And we're going to, until we get around, everyone does chalitza with everybody, and each man does yibum with one of them, okay? So each man ends up marrying one of these wives, okay? You follow? So every woman is chalitzed four times, and yibumed, obviously, at the end once, okay? She's yibumed, why is she yibumed at the end? Because if you yibum her first, right, what's the issue? Okay, let's just make it really clear now. Since we don't know which one is supposed to do yibum with them, so therefore, we do chalitza. If it was the one, great, he did chalitza with her, she's now free to marry anybody else. So in which case, when she at the end does her yibum is either b'mikre, it fell out on the right guy, and she does yibum with the right guy, or she already was chalitzed, in which case she can marry anybody, so the yibum turns into a marriage. Okay? So that's why the yibum is always at the end, because we have to make sure that she can, if he's not the one who's supposed to do yibum, otherwise she'll end up marrying someone before she's actually allowed to, because she hasn't done chalitza from her other husband. Okay, is that case clear to everyone now? Okay, so everyone does four chalitzas and one yibum, and they arrange it so that each guy ends up yibuming a different woman, so all the women end up getting married, all right, to one of these guys. Okay, so meitu arba chotzin lecha v'achad miyabemota. Hu shlosha chotzin lecha v'achad miyabem. Okay, that's right. Then that's the second case. He and the next three do yibum, and then a different one does chalit. Nimtzu arba chalitzot yibum l'chol achat v'achad. Okay. So now the Gemara just says v'dafka michlat v'hada yibume. Obviously, we do the chalitza first, like I said, and then you do the yibum at the end. Aval yibume b'reisha lo tekapaga b'yivam l'shuk, because otherwise he might end up marrying someone who hasn't been freed up yet, and that would be a problem. Ma'hi u'shlosha chotzin le'echad. So now they say, why does it have to be that everyone ends up being yibuming someone at the end? Why can't it be that one guy does yibum to two of the women, right? Now, again, you could say this further proves that there was no polygamy, right? That they tried to avoid polygamy if possible. That's definitely a possibility. But the Gemara answers, "Delo tema livminu chad lekulu elakocha v'chamiyavim chada dilma mitrami aladide." In other words, what are they hoping? That maybe b'mikre, right? And probably they were hoping there was some hashgacha involved. They would end up that they would actually each do yibum to the right woman. And then, right, once you have one man do two yibums, clearly you're not going to end up with 100%, right? That all these women will end up being yibum. Now, I was trying to think about it probability-wise. What are you better off going for? A vadai? Like maybe have one guy do yibum to all four women and at least one yibum will be perfect, right? A good yibum? Or are you better off taking your chances and, right, it seems to me like a very minor chance that each of these five women are going to actually fall with the guy that they were supposed to fall with. But the point is, have everyone do it, according to the Gemara, so that possibly you'll end up with the right woman. The other thing I thought of was, you know, it's definitely likely that we just want to make sure each woman is taken care of. And we talked about if someone has too many wives, he's not going to take care of them properly. So it also just makes more logical sense to have each one marry a different guy. Especially if we're saying that
the situation was during Bar-Kokhba.
Was during Bar-Kokhba. So you're saying, right, how can they support more than one wife, right? And it could be these guys already had a wife. So anyway, okay, now we're going to have some situations where we can't have them all do Yibum, okay? What would be the situation we can't have them do Yibum? So the first one is Miktsatan Achim or Miktsatan She'en Achim. Ha'achim Chotzim V'She'en Achim Miyabmim. If some are brothers and some aren't brothers, the ones who are brothers do chalitza, and the ones who aren't brothers do yibum. What is this talking about? The Gemara is going to ask. My kamar, what do you mean? Amar of safra hachi kamar. This is what they meant. Miktsatan achim min ha'av, u'miktsatan achim min ha'en. Achim min ha'em chotzim, v'achim min ha'av miyabmim. Okay, so now, what are they saying? What if, in this group of these five brothers, what did we say? They each have five different mothers. They're clearly not related by the mother. But what if they're brothers from the father? Okay? Then, one second. Something, right? And then, achim min ha'em chotzim, v'achim min ha'av miyabmim. Sorry. If they're brothers, got something here. Brothers from the mother. And how could they be brothers from the mother? I thought they all came from different women, or is the...
Yeah, that's what I thought. They didn't know who the women were because they're in the tree.
Ah, right. Some, sorry, not brothers with each other, with the five guys. Okay, so what if some of them, sorry, okay, there are five brothers, right, that we don't know who they are. We don't know where they came from, which mother. They each belong to one mother here. But what if they share, two of them share the same father with some of these guys? In other words, or one of them has the same mother as one of them and the same father as one of them. Okay? So if they share, one second. If they're just brothers from the mother, right? Each one is a brother from the mother, right? We know each mother only has one kid, so that's fine. So they do the yib. One second. No. Achim and Aim. Let's see. Oh, I got confused for a second. One second. If one of them, okay, here, there's a chart here. There's two, sorry, I forgot this case. Okay, there's a, one of the mothers, their husband had a child from a different wife, and she, right, shnei banim vadayim im shnei bnei tarovet, and they share the same, sorry. He also had a brother from the mother. Yeah. Got lost with it.
There's a couple. The wife gets divorced. she marries somebody else and they have a child, and then so they're maternal brothers, and so you don't know. Wait, Rachel, who they marries? Right.
Reuben marries Rachel and Chana, two wives, okay?
Right.
Then she has,
Rachel has a son.
Then Reuben divorces
Rachel,
and she marries someone else.
Who also has a son.
And then she and...
But then Chana has a son.
Okay.
So now Rachel's son and Chana's son both have the same father.
Okay.
But then the other child that Rachel has now with Boaz, they're maternally related.
Okay.
So there's children there that are maternally related and paternally related post the divorce.
Okay. So what's the relevance now? Why am I forgetting?
Because their father.
Because they have the same father and they have the same mother, and there are those that only have the mother and only some of that only have the father.
So now the ones...
Rachel and Reuben got married. They have children.
Right.
So then when Rachel marries Boaz and they have a child, those two brothers are related through Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Chana, who's also married to Reuben, has a child. Right? Chana's child and Rachel's child have the same father. And they don't know who's who.
Okay.
So... Some of the brothers have the same mother.
Some have the same father.
And
some have both.
And then some have neither.
Okay.
Like Rachel and Boaz.
Right. So why can't they do? They have to do chalitza if it's from the
mother.
From the mother, because that's the part I'm missing. Because everyone could be eshet achiv min ha'av. Okay. It could be the mother. Right. It could be eshet achiv ra'a. That's why. Right. Eshet achiv min ha'av is allowed for yibum purposes. Oh, that was the part I forgot. Eshet achiv min ha'av is allowed for yibum purposes, but eshet achiv min ha'em, you can't marry your brother's wife from your mother's side. You can only do it in a yibum case, and a yibum case is only through the father. So therefore, if they share the same mother, then they can't do yibum. So if there's a case where they share the same mother and the same father, right? In other words, and there's ones who possibly share the same mother, so now that wife can't do yibum. They have to do chalitza. Okay. Now the second exceptional case. Miksatan kohanim u miksatan sheinan kohanim. Kohanim chotzim, sheinan kohanim miyabmim. Okay? The ones who are kohanim, what's their issue? They can't marry a chalutza. So, right, the yibum here always happens at the end after everyone gets chalitza. So all these women are possible, they're possibly chalutzot. It could be the chalitza is nothing, but it could be it's a real chalitza. Okay. Okay, so then that's the case with the Kani. Okay, starting now with beginning of Tzadi Tet. Tana Rabbanan. Yesh choletz li'imo misafek, lachoto misafek, libito misafek. Okay, now we're going to see cases where somebody has to do chalitza to his mother out of safek, to his sister, or to his daughter. Okay, how's this going to happen? Ketzad. Imo v'isha acheret. Okay, now he has his mother and another woman. V'lahen shnei zcharim. Okay, they have two sons. V'chazru v'yaldu shnei zecharim v'machavo. Okay, they each have two sons, and now they're going to end up with another two sons. Okay? So now, two of their sons get mixed up. So you have a mother, a son. Okay, we'll have these two guys because they look somewhat similar, so they're going to get confused, okay? So they have a son and a son that got mixed up, and then they each have a son and a son that didn't get mixed up, okay? So now, what happens? These two, we don't know who they are. Okay, they're off on the side. We don't know who they are. Uba benashal zeh v'nasa imo shal zeh. Ubenashal zeh nasa imo shal zeh. Now, this woman's son married the other woman, and this woman's son married the other woman, the Vadai sons. Okay? They each married someone who for sure wasn't their son, right? These women aren't related. So each one married the opposite one's son. Now what's going to happen? Umechu b'lo banim. So now they both die. And they fall to Yibum to these two brothers. Okay, but these two brothers are Safek, maybe they're their child. So therefore, right, so Babanashal Zovana Saimashalzanim, Zecholetz Lishtehem, Zecholetz Lishtehen. Okay, each one has to do Chalisa with both. Nimta kolachabachat choletz limo. Okay?
Misafek. They don't know whose brothers they are either.
That's the point. So since they don't know who they belong to, the women, the moms, now have to do chalitza with both these boys, and one of them is their son. Okay, so they end up doing chalitza to their son misafek. Okay, weird case. Okay, la'achoto misafek, hitzad. Imo v'isha acheret she'aldu shtei nekevo b'machaveh. Okay, they have two daughters. Instead, right? The first case was they had two sons. Now we have two girls born to two mothers, okay? Two girls here. So they look alike. Here. Take this. Two girls born to two mothers. Ubao achehen shalome otahaem unisaum. Okay, now what's the story? They each have two brothers, okay? Those brothers have half brothers. Okay? They share, okay, the mom had two kids. Okay, one with a father, one with the, she had, each one had a girl with one father and a boy with a different father, okay? Now that father who they married had a son from a different marriage, okay? You follow? So now these girls are not related to the, it's their half-brother's half-brother, not related at all. And now what's going to happen, if you can figure it out, right? Unisa'um. Okay, so now ubao achehem shalom eotohem, these brothers who were not related to them at all, married the sisters. Okay, now the brothers here, the brothers who were related to the sisters, the half brothers, were the one. I'm sorry, the girls were the ones who were mixed up. Right, we don't know which girl belongs to who. So now what happens? So now nisaum umetu below banim. So now these women who were mixed up, I'm putting them on the side because they were mixed up. Their husbands died. They now fall to Yibum to the brothers, their husband's brothers from the father, which is not, right? It's their half-brother's half-brother. So what happens? Umeitu b'lo banim choletz l'shtehem nimsa choletz l'achoto. So the half-brother is going to do chalitza to his sister, misafek. Okay. Libito misafek ketzad. How about your, to your daughter? Ketzad. Ishto v'isha acheret she'al du shtei nekevo b'machaveh. Okay, again, two girls are born. We don't know who they are. Ubao achehem unisaum, umeitu below banim. Okay, so now, right, they married, right, one second, why is it isha acheret? Ubao achehem, right. The brothers of the father, right? Where's the father there? He's not mentioned here, but that's the case. No. Oh, that's what it is. Ubao achehem unisaum. One second. It's the case is that the brothers of the women married their daughters. I don't know why it doesn't say that. I think there was an issue with the girsa, right? Okay, it says here. Look at Rashi. Hachi garsina. Lachoto misafek. No, that's the achoto case. Sorry. Rashi changes the nusach here, I think. Here, ishto v'isha acheret, esher ruven, shtei nekevot, nimtzer achad bito, ubao shnei achei ruven, unisaum, v'nimtzer ruven choletz lebito. Right, it's the case, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but there's a problem with the Nusach. I think there's two parshanim of Rashi, but let's explain the first way of Rashi, that the two brothers of this guy married these women, okay? In other words, right, Reuven must be their father. And then, second, that... Sasha achot, achame ene kevot, and achad is bito shel abal shel ashniya. Right, it's the achehem, that's what it is. It's the brothers of the fathers, okay? So here's fathers, let's put fathers in the picture. Each of these girls had a father, okay? These are the two kids that were born, from the mother and the father. Now, the brothers of the father came along and married each of these girls. Their uncle basically married them. Okay? Now, uncles can marry girls. Okay? But again, we don't know which one married who. So now, when the father's brothers die, she falls to Yibum to the fathers. And therefore, the fathers have to do chalitza to their daughters. There's an issue. One of the mafreshim bring up, there's an issue. How can a father do chalitza to a daughter? Because chalitza is an embarrassing ceremony. For a daughter to do that to a father, it's very embarrassing. And there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that a melech is not allowed to do chalitza because of the embarrassment of it. So how could a father do it? So they say that for this situation, because of the importance of Yibum, the father is mochel on his kavod. The melech is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. We'll get to that in Sanhedrin, as to who can give up on their kavod. Okay, a father is allowed to, a king can't. So that's, you have to say that the father's going to be mochel on his kavod in this case. It's a strange situation. Okay, this just seems a little reminiscent of those other cases we had on Friday, these riddles, right? Like, how you could possibly have a situation where a father was going to do chalitza to his daughter, right?
It seems that genealogically there can always be a doubt. It seems like you should always have to do chalitza.
But there can always be a doubt of what?
Always. You don't know a generation or two back who married who. Like, you know, you could make the argument that you always have to do chalitza.
So this is the thing. Well, first of all, nowadays we always do chalitza anyway, but we generally assume that we know the yichus. That was the whole sugya about the Ovei Kochavim in yesterday's sugya, about when it comes to non-Jews, so we don't really know the lineage. But the assumption is in Jewish families, we're going to assume that that's the yichus. I think if you don't do that, you know, it's tough. It's tough to ever do yichus then. So, okay. I mean, we saw this a long time ago also, that they make a distinction between assuming the father's the father in Judaism, where, you know, among Jewish people, but not among non-Jewish people. Okay. Tanya. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Ish v'isha, we're going to continue along these strange cases, riddle-like cases. Pa'amim shemolidim chamesh umot. You could have a situation where somebody has five kids with a totally different yichus status. Okay, we learned about status. There's moms there, there's eved, there's ger, there's Jew, there's Kohen, right? There's all different statuses. So here we're going to see a situation with five different statuses. What's the situation? Okay. Yisrael Ketzad. Yisrael Shalakach Eved v'Shifcha Menashuk. Okay, it's going to be the Eved and the Shifcha, their children. Okay, they take an Eved and a Shifcha from the Shuk, they buy it from a non-Jew. Okay, when you buy it from a non-Jew, what do we learn? That a non-Jew can't have a Kinyan Aguf. So basically they buy him from the Shuk, he's not yet their Eved. Knani, until what happens, do you remember? Till the mal v'taval. Okay, obviously the woman just does tefillah, and the eved does milah and tefillah. So now it's before they do the milah and tefillah. What happens? V'lahem shnei banim. They come already with two kids. Now, nitgayer echad mehem. Okay, so now we already have, in other words, we want to show that this eved and shifcha can give birth to five children with five different statuses. So their first child is going to be a regular goy. Because he's not an Eved Knani, because he was lo mal v'taval, he was from before. So he's just a goy. Okay? Their second child is going to be mitgayer, so he's a ger. Okay? So now, he's nitgayer. Nimtza echa ger v'echad ovei kochavim. Hitbilan l'shem avdut. Okay, now, they tovel them to become avadim. V'nizkiku ze laze, and they sleep together, and they have a child. Hare kan ger vovei kochavim ve, what's his status now? Eved, right? An Eved and a Shifcha who are avadim knanim and have a child. Their child's an Eved. Shichreret ha-Shifcha uba aleha ha-Eved. Now you have, the Shifcha gets freed and the Eved sleeps with her. Now he's not allowed to sleep with her, remember? Because there are different statuses now. Because she's free and she becomes a Jew. And he's an Eved and an Eved can't sleep with a Jew. Hare kan ger vovei kochavim ve Eved umamzer. That kid is a mamzer. We're going to see not l'chol ha-deot, and that's going to be part of why we bring this here, to show that this is the day of Rabbi Meir. But we'll get to that in a minute. Shichrir shnehem, now he goes along and he frees the second, the eved. Now what happens? They're both Jews. V'sian ze lazeh harei kan gerv ovei kochavim be'eved umamzer v'yisrael. Okay, there you have these two people, complicated life. They've gone through a lot of changes in their life. They have five children with five different statuses.
I have a question from actually on yesterday's stuff.
Okay.
If you were a non-Jew and became Jewish, I'm assuming from the daf that it was a much faster process than it is
today. Oh, than it is today?
Because it talks about...
Okay, so we actually talked about this a while back, if you remember. We had the Eved, once he's mal v'taval for Avdut, he's already b'inyan mitzvot. And therefore, when he does the final... when he's shuchrar. That, you're talking about the Eved Meshuchrar?
I'm talking about, yesterday it talks about if a child is conceived and he's not Jewish.
Oh, you're talking about Giyur even.
Right.
Okay. So one thing we talked about was the Eved. Right. The Eved's already be'inyan mitzvot. Okay? The Ger, okay, so the Eved, it's a much easier process because he already has Kabbalat mitzvot. So he doesn't need the same Kabbalat mitzvot that you needed for the Ger. A ger, just because they didn't discuss the whole process, doesn't mean it was simple. It's very likely that the mother had been going through a conversion. This happens all the time, by the way. In fact, it's the most common is that women do conversion when they're pregnant often. Because, first of all, sometimes they're pregnant and they want to get married Jewishly, you know, because they're pregnant. But it just doesn't talk about the process. Okay. You know, the point is, right, she could have been going through some process. That Gemara is not relating to it. And it just happened to be that the process was finished while she was pregnant. Okay. Although what it doesn't relate to is if she's already been going through the process, the assumption isn't that she's sleeping around. Because that was all based on this premise that Kol Od she's not converted, she's a non-Jew, and then she's got the status of a non-Jew that we have no idea who her husband is. Because she's assumption is she sleeps around. Now, while it's probably likely that if she's going through a good conversion process, she's not sleeping around with people. And therefore, she wouldn't have been just before, but also halacha never distinguishes like that. In other words, if she's not Jewish now, she's not Jewish now, and all issues of non-Jews apply to her. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, interestingly, they didn't ask about all the other cases, but my kamashmalam, what are you trying to teach us by bringing us this weird riddle, right? What do you want to come out with and say? Probably because they had something to say, so they wanted to say it. Ovei kochavim ve'evet hababa Israel havlab mamzer. Okay, we learned this before. There's a machloket about this, okay? It's not clear if an ovei kochavim or an evet sleeps with a bat Israel is the vlad mamzer or not. So they wanted to say that this shows that, at least according to Rabbi Meir, the vlad is a mamzer.
Yeah.
The psak is not that.
Yeah.
The psak is that the baby's not a mamzer. Okay, but the Gemara is saying that we're showing that Rabbi Meir holds it is.
Doesn't Rabbi Akiva also agree with that?
Rabbi Akiva, I assume, because he says all chai v'lavim are right. Right. Okay. Right. Well, here they're not talking about Rabbi Akiva. They're just the brite was given in the name of Rabbi Meir, so they're just pointing out that that's what's coming to teach us. Tana Rabbanan, another interesting case. Yesh mocher aviv lahagbot imo ktubata. Okay, remember, a woman, when her husband dies, she gets her ktuba money, right? She can demand it. Now, what we're going to learn here is getting a ktuba money is a stronger you have more power as the person who's trying to get this money. You have more power to do it for your ktuba than, let's say, for a loan. Okay, let's say you take out a loan, what we're going to learn about is nechasim meshuabadim. There's you can have property or things that are meshuabad to a loan or to a sale, right? Let's say I took out a big loan and I sell my house and I now have nothing left. Okay, after I took the loan, I sell my house. Comes the guy to get his money and I say, sorry, I don't have any money. It's like, well, what happened to your house that you had? Oh, I don't have it anymore. So now he has the rights again. It depends what kind of halva'ah, if it was just an oral one or it was bishtar. There's different things about it, but basically he can come and take the money from the person who bought my house. Now wait, that's not fair to the guy who bought my house, but what do they say? The guy who bought the house has to check, do you have a lien on the property, right? Do I have any outstanding loans, things I have to pay back, because they know then that someone might come and take it back. Okay, so when they obviously bought it for a lower price because my property was valued less because I owed money to someone. So now there's a whole issue of what kind of property. Is it just karka, okay, land, or can it also be mitaltalin? Can you demand things from mitaltalin? Generally, we say when it comes to a loan, you can't take it from movable property. Okay, so I sell, my iPad. Okay, so can someone say, oh, look, you owe me money, I'm going to take it from the iPad that you sold to whoever? So that, generally, we say no. What we're going to see now is the distinction between a ketubah, when it comes to metaltalin, possibly, okay, we'll see, there's two ways of reading the sugya. There's two things the sugya says. And then the whole question is going to be, where do slaves come into? Are those considered movable, or are they considered karka, okay? Because they're kind of in between, right? They're neither one. They're not exactly movable because they have their own mind, right? They're people, right? But they're also, right? What category do we put them into? Because if they're karka, then we could say we can demand things from a slave. If they're not karka, then we say, oh, we can't. But maybe there's a distinction between halva and ketuba for the purposes of an eved, okay? So now, why is a ketuba different? Because a ketuba is something, we'll see this when we get to ketubot very soon. A ketuba is something that the husband, as soon as he gets married, commits this money to the wife, and it's as if like it's in an escrow account, where it's waiting for her, and she can demand it like at any moment, basically. So that money is like a guaranteed, even though it's interesting because in the end he might not ever give that money because she might die first. But kol od she's alive, that money is like almost as if it's hers. So therefore, it's always easier to demand that than it is to demand a loan. Like it's got a higher status in that sense. We'll see other nafkaminas to that as we go on. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Yesh Mocher Taviv Lahagvot Imo Ketubata. Okay, sometimes someone could sell his father to get his mother's ketubah. Ketzad, what kind of situation? Yisrael lakach eved v'shivcha min hashuk. A guy takes an eved and a shivcha from the shuk. V'lahem ben. Okay, and they have a son, and he takes them all, he buys them. V'shichrer et hashivcha unisa'a. He frees the shivcha, and he marries her. V'amad v'katav kol nechasav lebina. And he says, all my property, which includes what? His father, right? The Eved's father, the Eved, belong now to the son of the Eved. Okay? So now what happens? He dies, okay? And she wants to get her ketubah money. Nimtza zeh, where does she get it from? From the son, because the father gave all his nechasim away. So she now has no money to demand from the husband, right? From the husband's estate. She has to go to her son. Now her son, what's he going to do to pay the money? He could sell his father as a slave and pay his mother the money. Okay? My kamash malam, what does this come to teach you? Kula Rabbi Meir he. This is all Rabbi Meir. What is it teaching us? That avda mitaltale, umitaltale mishtavde l'ktuba. He wants to teach us that avadim are mitaltalim. And mitaltalim, right, they're movable property, and they can be mishuabah for the ktuba. That's one way of reading it. The ibayit ema, then they suggest otherwise. Maybe it's hakamash malam. Avdit kimikar kadame. No, really, you can't take movable property for your ketubah, but an eved is considered karka. Okay? There's a whole machloket about this. We'll get into this when we get to that stuff. I don't remember where it comes up. Haisha, okay, new Mishnah. Haisha shenitarev vlada bivlad kalata. Okay, now we have a woman and her daughter-in-law, and their kids get mixed up. Okay, so the main thing to remember here always is that they're a generation apart, so their kids are going to be a generation apart. Okay, now when it comes, okay, so we'll explain in a minute. Higdilu hataravot. So now they have sons that got confused, right? Let me think. They have, yeah, their sons got confused. Okay, so now the kids got confused. Okay, and nasunashim. Oh, sorry. Yeah, their sons marry women, umetu, and now their sons die. So now what happens? We have, basically, I'm going to say it like this, it's much simpler to understand. We have an uncle and his nephew that fall to do yibum or chalitza with these two women, right? With the wives. Now, these two women are possibly the niece, right? They're not sisters, because one is the daughter-in-law and one is
they're
sisters. No, they're not sisters, they're not because sisters. No, they're not related. Because one, you're right, because it's her daughter-in-law. But the issue is here. Right, you have a woman and her daughter-in-law. Right, this is her son and her daughter. Okay, now. The daughter marries another one, right? And now, she has a son, right? And the son, okay, here, he marries, right? So now, here's his wife, and here's his wife, right? Now, the wives fall to Yibam, they die, fall to Yibam to the brothers. So now, the brother of the younger one, right, is supposed to marry. Let's say he marries the older one. So that is his aunt. You follow? Now, he can't marry his aunt. Okay? That's the problem. So he has to do chalitza. But the one who's older, right, the uncle, can marry the niece. That's not a problem. Okay? So therefore, that's the whole, it's like an uncle-kid relationship, which can go one way but can't go the other way. So therefore, b'nei hakala cholzim v'lo miyabmim. They can't do yibam. Shehu sapek eshet achiv. Sapek eshet achi aviv. Okay? It's possibly the uncle. Okay? I'm sorry, the aunt. The wife of his uncle. And the wife of his uncle, he can't marry. That's dodato. Remember that pasuk we learned? B'nei zkena o cholzim o miyabmim. Shesapek eshet achiv Ve'eshet ben achiv, and ben achiv is no problem. Eshet achiv is obviously no problem if it's yibum, and eshet ben achiv is no problem if it's yibum. Okay? Right? So, therefore, it's okay. Meitu haksherim, what if it was the reverse? That the ones who were vadai died, and not the ones who were suffic. Okay? So now, right, the ones, these, okay, this is the, right, we have the brothers first married, they were the suffic ones. Now we have that the vadai brothers married. Okay, these guys got married and died. Okay, so now the other ones got married and died, and now they fall to the brother of, we don't know who, no, the brother is the vadai, the, right, the wife, it's this wife that's now a question, okay? So the vadai, the wives are the questions, no, sorry, the sons are the questions, okay? These are vadai, they marry wives, vadai. Now we don't know who they fall to yibum to. That's the problem. The yabam is the question mark. So now, libnei hazkena, so now the wife of, right, the wife, the yivama of the older woman, right, she's now what? Chotzim v'lo miyabnim, because she's safek eshet achiv, or safek eshet achiyaviv, because she's married to the older one, right, the uncle. So she's the safek one now. Okay, and livnei kala echad cholet v'echad miyabem, because she's no problem. Worst case, he's marrying his niece. Okay, kohenet shenizarev lada bivlad shipchata. What if you have the wife of a kohen? Now she has slaves in her house. What happens if their kids got mixed up? Her and her slaves' kids got mixed up. Hare elu. Okay, now we're going to have a whole list of things. We have basically a safek kohen, safek eved. Right, big difference. Right, this is going to be like the two opposite extremes. So now, however, we're going to see that there's a bunch of things they have in common. What are the things they have in common? Hare elu ochlim b'truma. Remember, they can all eat truma because the avadim can eat truma. V'cholkim chelek echad b'goren. They can go and get. Okay, we're going to see what this is in a little bit later. But if you remember, we had this thing about collecting the food, and the kohanim would line up and go get food from the goren, from the storage house. So they together can get one chelek in the goren. We'll see in a minute later what that means. Ve'inam etamim lemeitim. They can't become tamei lemeitim because they're safek kohen. Ve'inam nosim nashim bein kshirot bein psulot. They can't marry anybody because anyone that a kohen is not allowed to marry, an eved can marry. And anyone, right, and an eved can't marry anyone who's not in eved status, right? And it's only people in his status level. And anyone in his status level is not allowed to marry a kohen. So they can't get married. Bank shirot bank psulot. Higdilu hataravot. So what do? Some people say they're supposed to do this, and some people say if they do this. B'shichriru ze'et ze'et. Nosim nashim ru'uyo lakuna. Since one is obviously going to be the owner of the other when the father dies, so each one frees the other. If he's the Kohen, so he freed the slave. If he's not the Kohen, so he didn't do anything. Okay? And then they can each get married. Okay? But they can only marry women who a kohen can marry because each one is still a safek kohen. Okay? And okay, so now once they're freed, okay, so now there's no slave in the picture, but they're still safek kohen. So therefore, what happens? They can't be metamei lemeitim. But if they did, they don't get malkot. They used to give malkot to kohanim who would be tamei lemeit, but here we're not going to give someone malkot mishum safek. Ve'inam ochlim b'truma, they can't eat truma because one is no longer an eved. Okay, so he can't eat truma anymore. So now they can, neither of them can eat truma. Ve'im achlu, but again, if they do, einam mishalmim karen v'chomesh. Why is that? Very simple. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And when they go, right, what happens? Some kohen says, hey, you took my truma, you have to pay me keren b'chomer. She says, go prove it. Prove that I'm not a kohen. Can't prove it. So if you want to collect money from someone, you have to be able to prove it. You can't prove it, and safek, you don't have to pay. Ve'inam cholkim al agoren. They can't stand online to get the food for the truma, even though one is a safek kohen. We'll see why after. Umochrim et ha-truma. Now, if they have their own field, they have to basically separate truma, okay, misafek. But then they can, since again, it's not clear if this money belongs to the Kohen. It could belong to them, the Truma. So what do? They can sell the Truma. They can't eat the Truma because they can't eat Truma because maybe they're not a Kohen. They can sell it and get the money for it, okay? So they don't lose any money on the Truma, but they also can't eat it themselves. Vadamim shalahem, and then the money belongs to them. Ve'inam cholkim b'kadshem mikdash. Okay, they don't get, when they give out all the kodshim to the Kohanim and they split them up between the Kohanim, like when it was your mishmar that week, you used to get the parts of the korbanot, they don't get it. Ve'inotnim lahem kodshim. Some of them, Parshat explain, this means people don't give them their korbanot to sacrifice. So they can't do the avoda. Ve'ein motziim shalahem yidehem. Okay, but if they bring a korban and this part they're supposed to go to the Kohen, they're allowed to eat it. Because again, hamotziim echavero alav haraya. No one can prove it's not theirs. They don't have to give the matnot kiuna because maybe they're a kohen again. What about the bechor? The bechor, the kohen gets to eat. The bechor behema. So his own bechor behema, what does he do? He separates it out, okay? But then it's kodshim. He can't eat kodshim. So what does he do? He has to be yehe ro'eh ad shiyisteev. If you remember, we learned this all in Yoma about the korbanot, right? When you separate them and then they're no good. So what happens? You leave it until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, it's chulin. And then, even then, only a kohen could eat it. But since he's a safek kohen, and no one can take it out of his hands, and since it's chulin, he's allowed to eat it. So he can do that. B'notnim alav chumrei kohanim chumrei yisraelim. The Gemara will explain what all these chumrot are, okay? Okay, first, if you remember now that we got into all these cases, the first thing we said in the Mishnah was this case of the woman and the kala. Okay, we're not going to get into very much detail, but the second case it said metu haksherim. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about ksherim? The other ones were psulim? Elahanach mishum diyarvlu havalu psulim. The first case, when the sons got mixed up, they were called psulim? That doesn't make any sense. Amara papa ema umetu avadaim. It should be metu avadaim. They're just changing the word in the Mishnah. It makes sense to say it's the vadaim and not the ksherim. Okay. Libne hakala. Again, we're going to say something very simple and then move back to this Kohen case. Libne hakala achal choleitz vechami abeim. Again, they're going to say what they keep saying every time. Dafka michlat vahadu yibume. Clearly, you have to do the chalitza first and then the yibum. Aval yibume bereisha lo. You guys could say this by heart already. Dekapavara biyavam alashuk, right? If you do the yibum first, since it's a safek, and maybe it's yibum, maybe it'll just end up being marriage. You can't marry before she's done chalitza, so obviously the chalitza has to be done first. Okay, now back to this Kohen case. Kohenet shenitarev. So now we want to understand what this chelek echad is, okay? So chelek echad pshita. The first case said, when it's a safek, right before we free the eved, it's either an eved or it's the adon, right? Now, no matter what, okay, they only get one portion. They wouldn't get two portions. You don't give a special portion to the Eved, right? You only give a portion to the Kohen himself. So they say Pshita. So what do they say? No. Ema chelek ke'echad. It means they have to go together to collect it. If they go separately, they can't collect it. Why? Tznan, Kemanda Amar, Ein chokim truma le'eved, ele in ken rabo imo. Okay? And this goes according to the Mishnah that says, you can't separate Truma to an Eved unless his Adon is with him. Detanya, why is this? Now we're going to bring a Braita that shows this. Okay, oh, sorry, I didn't read this right. This isn't a Mishnah. They're saying our Mishnah goes like the one who says, okay, when our Mishnah says our Mishnah said they take Chelek Echad. Now they say, no, the Mishnah means Ke Echad, together. Only if they go together can they get this Truma. Now they're saying, why would our Mishnah have said that? Now, our Mishnah must hold, like this brayta we're going to quote, that you can't give truma to an eved unless his adon is with him. Why? Ditanya, ein chokim truma le'eved ele in kem rabo imo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So it must be our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda that they have to be together. We're going to see in a minute what the issue is. Rabbi Yossi omer yachol sheyomar im kohen ani tznu li b'shvil atzmi v'im eved kohen ani tznu li b'shvil Rabbi. Okay. Rabbi Yossi says, no problem. The Eved can go by himself and say, I'm the Eved of a Kohen. Give me my Adon's portion, right? It's almost like you think it would be appropriate for that, because why should the Kohen have to go himself? He could send a messenger, right? He could send his Eved. Now, why is there a difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda? It's not that they have a difference in tfisa, in approach, but what's the difference? It's a technical difference. Bim komosha Rabbi Yehuda, hayu ma'alim mitruma liyochsin. Bim komosha Rabbi Yossi, lo hayu ma'alim mitruma liyochsin. In Rabbi Yehuda's city, How did they know if people were Kohanim? They would say, ah, did you see him online for the Goren? If then, you know he's a Kohen. Okay? And Rabbi Yossi's city, they wouldn't do that. So if they, and what's the issue? If we see this Eved going, standing online, everyone's going to say, ah, he's a Kohen. Right? Imagine, in our day, right, it's still a little different, because obviously you wouldn't have an Eved do that, but everyone knows that whoever goes up to do Birkat Kohanim is Kohen, right? And it's, there's just this chazak, oh, I saw him doing Birkat Kohanim, he must be a Kohen. Right? So same way, whoever they saw online, they would say, ah, he's a Kohen. And then for Yuchsin purposes, right, it was always, you can see, I mean, it goes back to what we started with earlier. There was this big issue of who's who and how do we figure out Yuchsin, right? It's not so simple. So basically, they used that as a criteria. And therefore, the Avadim couldn't go unless they were with their Adon. And then, right, then it was okay because then they knew that they connected with that Kohen. Tanya. Amar Belezer Bar Tzedok. Now we're going to see another thing along these lines. Miyamai lo he'aditi ela edut echad. Okay, this means not that he only did one edut, but he said only one edut about yuchsin of someone. V'helu eved l'kun alpi. And they basically, right, what did I do? What did he obviously do? He testified, he saw this guy online for the this, and they said, oh, he must be a Kohen. Okay, and it was an eved. So the Gemara says, he'elu salkadatach. What are you talking about? You think they really took an Evan and made him into a Kohen? Why did they think this couldn't be possible? Based on Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok's testimony, Hashta behem tan shel tzadikim ena kadosh baruch hu mevi takala al yadan tzadikim atzmam lo kol shekein. How could it be the God would bring such an error in the hands of a tzadik? He doesn't even bring errors in the hands of a behema. What's that story? I don't know if you recall this. We had this before. The chamor of, I think it's Yair ben Pinchas or Pinchas ben Yair, right? What's his name? Do you see it? It's Rashi says it where? What, Pinchas ben Yair? His chamor would never eat stuff that wasn't ma'isered. Okay, his beheman knew to distinguish. Okay, so if God doesn't send behem tanshul tzadikim to do averot, right? Clearly, the tzadikim atzmam wouldn't cause averot. So ela ema, it must be bikshu lahalot eved l'kuna alpi. Okay, in other words, he was saying they almost did. I almost caused a big mistake. Okay? Why? How did this mistake happen? Because Chaza ba'atri to Rabbi Yossi, ba'aza ba'asi ba'atri to Rabbi Yehuda. He testified in the city of Rabbi Yehuda about someone he saw online in the city of Rabbi Yossi. Okay? And therefore, they thought that, oh, if he said he saw this guy online, he must have been a Kohen. And it turns out it was really an epic. Okay, we'll stop here for today.